Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 2nd of October, recording at 9:23 p.m. and it's still British summer time. Now, first the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, where they were open, many are still closed, but where they were open, they were mostly higher. Australia was an exception, down just a little bit. And the European markets were doing reasonably well earlier in the day, but reversed those gains as Wall Street weakened. Wall Street closed down with some chunky losses, 4% or more on the NASDAQ and S&P index, and the Dow down 3.22%. And let's see. That's right, another surging day in the dollar, again taking it to a new high on the U.S. dollar index, currently at 80.55. The euro is down to 138, and sterling back to 176. And against that background, commodities were really pummeled in here today. Gold at 837, that's down 33.5. Platinum hit another new low, breaking beneath that psychological $1,000 level, currently 972. Crude oil down, well down here at 93.89, that's down $4.6. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, the U.S. Bank rescue package has galvanized everyone's attention, and we have just over a month to go before the crucial election, not only the presidential election, but also all the congressional and Senate seats that are also so many of them are will also be voted on. So, not surprisingly, we're getting a bit of political football taking place with this bank support program, with everyone looking over their shoulder at the polls and also at their constituents. We're going to get a package, obviously, whether it's enough to please the markets or not remains to be seen. But the serious situation at the moment is just this freeze on lending, because the banks don't want to lend. The LIBOR rate has soared. The TED spread has widened out to 3.6%. I'll be commenting on that yesterday. Incidentally, apropos nothing except a goof on my part yesterday, I should mention right away, I'm terribly sorry that about the late posting of the audio. I had recorded it at the normal time. Yes, to talk about yesterday's audio. I had recorded it at the normal time and then somehow forgot to post it. That's pretty daft. And I am sorry about that. Now, carrying on here, so this package, I expect it will be passed, but the problems, as I've said, the problem right now is that credit in the West really has seized up. And banks have been throwing a lot of money at it, but they may have to throw considerably more or come up with some other rabbit here to change the situation somewhat. Until that happens, I mean, we have a very, very powerful headwind for stock markets, because if credit seizes up, and that's close to what we have right now, that can only weigh on economic activity, and there was some more weak economic data coming out of the U.S. The U.S. economy, in my view, is unquestionably in recession, and while the export sector had been holding it up, as the rest of the globe slows, particularly Europe, that does bite into the U.S. export market, and the stronger dollar has not helped, although the dollar has not gone up so much as to create a significant problem there. But it's less advantageous than it was. That's the main point. I think much of, certainly the UK is in recession. Much of Europe is in recession, and this still remains a serious crisis. Now, a lot of that, as I've said before, is already reflected in stock market moves. I do expect this package to be improved. I do feel that we have seen watershed developments. Central banks really have, again, as part of crisis-oriented governments, have had the wake-up call here that inflation is not the problem. And the inflation pressures, I think, always, again, the inflation data is always a lagging indicator, and the inflation pressures are fading rapidly. Just look at these commodity markets, and most of the inflation that came before was in the form of commodity price inflation. Now, what I want to mention here is, let's talk about the commodity super cycle. I am very much of the view that the commodity super cycle is not over, but I have also said that a global slowdown, let alone, I've said this right from the beginning, for years I've said this, that a global slowdown and that recessions, which would occur from time to time, global slowdowns and recessions would certainly interrupt the commodity super cycle. Now, at minimum, we've got a global slowdown, and this may well qualify as a global recession, although it's not going to, you don't have to drag every economy into recession. I certainly don't expect China and India to go into recession. But it is a significant global slowdown, and I have remained more pessimistic than the IMF on this just because of the trend. And the trend is slowing. I think that's likely to continue. I can also see the seeds for the next recovery, and that starts with a big change in emphasis on monetary policy by central banks. They're beginning to do that now, but they have to clearly move significantly before creating the monetary conditions and before boosting sentiment sufficiently to produce the growth. There's a time lag. So even though the central banks are becoming more accommodative, they're not cutting interest rates enough, though. I certainly expect ECB rate cuts. I noticed that the consensus on Bloom before long, but they did not occur today. Nobody expected them to occur today. It's really as if Trichet at the ECB and King at the Bank of England are having a little bit of macho contest here to see who can hold out the longest. I noticed that the Bloomberg consensus, while it was 100%, there was 100% view that Trichet would not lower interest rates. He certainly opened the door for lower rates here today with his comment, saying that it had been discussed. The Bloomberg consensus also suggests that Mervyn King at the Bank of England will cut rates by a quarter of a point on the, I think they're looking for that on the 9th of this month, when that decision is made. In all probability, that would take rates from 5% down to 4.75. The European rate, I believe, is at 4.25. Now, I certainly think we need the rate cuts. I think we need to see the rate cuts also in China and India and these other countries. We'll get them. It's just a question of when. And the longer that they hold out on these rate cuts and on an aggressive shift in monetary policy, the longer it will take to put a firm floor under their stock markets and get the cycle going again. And this will take time in all probability, because we had a real inflation scare, and they My experience of central banks is that they're always slow to begin raising rates, and that was certainly the case last year, and that they're always slow in terms of getting around and cutting rates. But in terms of inflation fire and deflation ice, we have certainly gone from a situation of ice over fire. I beg your pardon. We have certainly gone from a situation of fire over ice that we had last year and earlier this year to one of ice over fire. And so that means the inflationary pressures are fading very, very rapidly, and the disinflationary and deflationary pressures are building very rapidly. Now, if we try to put all this together, I certainly see the ingredients here for a major stock market recovery, but we may have to be patient for that. Right now, I do feel that we have the prior conditions for an important medium-term bottom in here this month. Now, I say that at a time when the Nasdaq has just pushed to a new reaction low, and the transports index has fallen very sharply, when the S&P and the Dow are testing their downtrend lows, and of course everything remains locked in overall downward trends. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, everyone is in thrall of the political argy-bargy over the bank support program in the USA, and alarmed over the credit freeze, and so they should be. But if we look at all these events, we're seeing the shifts in central banks. I've often mentioned the importance of this change and emphasis on the part of the central banks. That process is clearly underway, and once having crossed that Rubicon, they will certainly continue to throw money in to try to get the bank freeze in the West to ease, and it's only a matter of time before interest rates come down for short-term interest rates are lowered by central banks. Now, I've already mentioned that the commodity inflation is well behind us for the time being, and I don't think it'll pick up again until we have clear evidence of a synchronized global economic recovery. When will that be? Well, it's certainly not going to happen this year. It might just happen by the back end of next year, and is a good probability for 2010 would be my guess. But in the meantime, we've got a period here where inflation is really not going to be the problem, and central banks can concentrate on promoting growth. We obviously don't have a dollar crisis, and we obviously have not had spikes in long-dated interest rates. So, and obviously, peak oil problems have been pushed further into the future, and I would not be surprised if oil stayed down for a considerable period in here, and by that I mean could easily be a couple of years, as I've said before. Now, if oil stays below $100, and it's currently locked in a range between $90, $89 and just over 100, if it continues in this range, and I think it might well go a bit lower. My low forecast has been an 80, although I doubt that it would stay there all that long. But some people are talking about oil going back to 60. That may be a contrary indicator. But if it's right, if we go back to oil at $60 for any period of time, and I'm not forecasting that, I hasten to add, we could be back into a Goldilocks environment. Imagine that. But so my theme on this, which I mentioned before, is back to the future. All these markets are coming back. It's been one heck of a traumatic experience for those who are long. But many of us also have a fair amount of cash, and it's creating another buying opportunity. I think the better buying opportunities will probably be in the Asian emerging markets. And I'm in no hurry to press the buy button in here. I'm content to watch, given that this is such an unusual financial situation here in the West, at any rate. But we need to bear in mind, we're not talking about a global credit crisis here. We do not have this problem. We do not have banking problems in India or in China. Yes, stock markets have fallen. Yes, the economic growth has slowed. Yes, property prices have come down quite a bit in China. They needed to. The government was trying to engineer that. So that'll create some bad debts. But basically, you've got economies that have enviable growth rates, and you also have banks that are strong, that have none of the toxic waste that has caused so many problems in the West and a few other places. And you have very high personal savings rates. So that wins all the way around as far as I'm concerned in terms of investing prospects. So when I do start to push cash back in the market, into the stock market, Asian emerging markets will feature, and among those would certainly be China near these levels, certainly Vietnam, and I would also India is held up rather well. That's a good point, but might deter my hand a little bit here. Meanwhile, other straws in the wind, while so many stock market indices are testing their lows, most bank indices are doing better. So just as we started to fret back in 2007, way back in 2007, from February onwards, we began to fret a little bit about the deterioration in bank indices in the West, the U.S. banking indices, the European banking indices, without having a clue as to what the problem actually was and what a problem it actually turned out to be. So what I'm saying now is that, okay, certainly some banks have gone bust and more will go bust, and once they go bust, they get pulled out of the index, so that helps to prop it up. But I think it's more than that. The bank indices now are outperforming, just as they be, and it's beginning, it's early days yet, but they're beginning to outperform just as they were beginning to underperform back in February and March of 2007. And if that continues, that will be a very, very positive development. Have a look at the Australian banks, which Owen has posted here today. So, and that's essential. I've said all along, we both said that we need to see a banking recovery before we would get a general market recovery. Now, how can we have the banking recovery when the whole bank model has been so devastated? Well, again, that applies mainly to the West, and the East was not working on the same banking model. But the banks that survive are going to be in a stronger position, and they will get back to more sensible banking policies, which are certainly profitable in an expanding economy. We're not going to have the kind of racy nonsense that we had before, probably not for perhaps another generation. And then people will forget about the problems, and banks will invent some new way to lose money, as we've seen so many times in the past. So, still a tricky time, but I do think there's a quite reasonable chance that we will see this medium-term low this month for stock markets, and then a meaningful technical rally back to the mean in the form of the long-term moving average. Could we get more? Yes, we could, but that does require a significant change in the credit crisis. But remember, the credit crisis is the last really big problem that's out there, unless you say, well, what about the slowdown in growth? But it's, of course, the credit crisis that is responsible for a lot of that slowdown in growth. The other factors, food price inflation, energy inflation, that's all in reverse. And that's it from me tonight. Owen will be doing the big picture long-term outlook audio tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.